This is MemberCare Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
We grew up in the same family. We lived in the same house and in the same places. And yet, our experience of growing up abroad is very different. We have different memories, different educational experiences, and different linguistic skills, which have influenced our life choices. I hope you enjoy listening in on a conversation I recently had with my sister Laura. Today I've got my sister in the studio, my sister Laura Clifford, and we'll just chat about what it was like growing up and our different experiences within the same family. So Laura, just introduce yourself a bit and what you're doing these days.
I'm Laura and I live in central England at the moment, and I work in a hospital there as a midwife. I work shift work, which is very different from most people, but it does give me a different lifestyle from everybody else, and I have certain freedoms when I work shift work compared to other people. I get to go shopping when other people are at work and get to have lions when other people don't.
But that also means you're often working in the night when other people are sleeping.
Indeed, but I always tell myself that just as I'm going to bed, my friends are getting up and going to work and I can sleep all day.
So was there any reason why you went into midwifery? Was there any story behind it?
Well, I think I got interested, or I was aware of the importance of midwifery from when we were young, living in the village. We lived next door to an orphanage and they were orphans through maternal death, through childbirth. And those children would stay in the orphanage till they were three or five before they went back into their extended family. I knew that having a midwife was important. But then also, more on the comical side, our father delivered a baby in the aeroplane once, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
He took off with six and landed with seven. Yes. That was quite funny. And then were you around that incident when we were driving from the neighbouring village back to our village?
Yes, I was.
We were all in the back of the car.
That's right.
And we were flagged down by some women who had a lady who'd been in labour for several days. And they said, take her to hospital. We all piled out the back of the car, didn't we?
We did, yeah, we got out.
Because the lady was making horrible noises.
Yes.
And we walked ahead while they put her in the back of the car where we'd been sitting. And they said, doctor, the baby's coming. And turned and looked at Dad, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
And he's, I'm not a doctor. So they quickly covered up the lady again. I think what struck me in that car was that nobody knew how to deliver a baby. There were six adults in the car, all missionaries, and no one had any medical knowledge at all, which I think is quite striking. If you're going to go out there, those are the basic human needs. Surely you need to meet basic human needs before you can tell people about the gospel. I thought, well, I think that's something quite useful to know. Even if I don't work as a midwife all my life, at least I know how to deliver a baby, which is a basic necessity. Hence, I'm still a midwife.
And do you remember how cross Mum and Dad were with us? Because we had gone walking ahead because we didn't want to hear the screaming lady. And it was actually lion season that time.
I don't remember Mum and Dad being cross, but I do remember us walking and it was dusk.
Yes.
And I remember talking about, now, what are we going to do when the lions jump out of the long grass next to the road?
That's right. Yeah. Well, that's why Mum and Dad were a bit cross with us, because it was lion season in that village area.
Yes. Well, I certainly remember us talking about it, thinking, I hope they're not going to be long.
Yes, that's right.
I think we were about five kids walking along.
Yeah, we were five kids walking along. And I had left my shoes behind.
I remember that.
In the hurry.
That someone had left their shoes in a hurry.
That's
yes.
Right. So I was walking barefoot through the dirt.
Yes, the dusty roads.
That's right.
Yes.
So apart from those memories, what are your main memories of growing up in the village?
I don't remember that much, really. I think I was about 9 when I left. But I remember the school, and I remember sitting in the classroom once. It was the back classroom that backed onto the forest behind, and the windows were open. We could hear, what animal? Is it the cheetah that does, it's like a saw noise.
No, it was the leopard.
Oh, yeah, the leopard. Yeah. We could hear the leopard. It was broad daylight. And I remember when I retook the first year of school because I had forgotten German after 6 months in the UK. And so we started with new classmates, and it was another set of twins. After break, just before break finished, we all stood behind the door, the classroom door, and waited to see whether the teacher would just miss us. But I can't really remember how she found us. Or whether we all jumped out and said, surprise!
Yeah, I think I remember a lot more of the village time because I was 12 when we finally left. And you were 9, so I probably have a few more memories of that time. So what was it like then when we moved to the town so I could get secondary schooling? What sort of memories do you have from that time in the town?
It was quite daunting going to the school in the town. It had about 500 students, didn't it, compared to our 9 students in our village school?
Yeah, I think it was 300, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
300. And so it was big and daunting. And then also the education was in a different language. It was in English, and we hadn't been taught in English. What I really struggled with was the writing. And I still make spelling mistakes. And I put it down to having a primary education in German, and then at the age of 9 having to learn to write in English. And I know that I didn't really read books until probably the age of 12. And I think reading helped me to learn how to spell, but until then, I didn't really know how to spell.
Yes, I think I was lucky in that Mum had already taught me to read and write in English before I started at the German school.
Yes.
And then even at the German school in my English lessons, my teacher really reinforced spelling. We all had spelling tests almost every lesson, it felt like. And so I maybe had an advantage on you guys in that.
Yes, I don't really remember having English lessons at primary school.
Okay.
I remember we had some homeschooling, but that didn't last very long at all.
No.
We didn't stick it out. We didn't want to be at home, did we?
No, not doing extra lessons when everybody was playing.
Yeah, we wanted to be out and about with our friends. So I don't think I really recognised it at the time, but there was a time where I was not fluent in either language.
Yeah.
So I was incompetent at school in both ways, because we had some German lessons, but they weren't enough to keep up my German. And we had all the schooling was in English, but I hadn't learned English really, apart from to speak until then. So I didn't know how to do all the schoolwork either.
Yeah, I agree.
One thing I do know is that my handwriting is a jumble because of the mixed education that I had.
Yes.
But it's interesting because Jill did the same as me because we're twins, and her handwriting is so different from mine because she didn't adapt at all to British handwriting.
Okay.
Do you know the 6-month block that we had in the UK?
Oh, yes.
We went to school then and they forced us not to write joined up.
Oh, okay.
But Jill, I don't think she ever conformed to that. Whereas I learned to do the round handwriting of the British.
Yeah.
She's got a very German handwriting.
Yeah.
The difference, do you remember the difference? You know, we started writing with a fountain pen from day zero. at school, and in the UK we had to use pencils.
Yes.
We weren't old enough to use fountain pens.
But in the German school we had already used fountain pens all the time.
Yes.
Yeah. When we moved to the town to go to the English speaking school, I think my biggest issue was that I could understand the questions at the school, because my English was good enough for that, but I couldn't answer the questions because I didn't have the vocabulary in English to answer those.
I think one of the advantages of not going to a British school but going to an international school in the town was that there were other people who really didn't speak English either.
Yes.
So we didn't stand out too badly, but certainly not my class teacher, but for a while they had a special educational teacher. She was British, and I think she was appalled at our spellings and our inability to write.
Yes.
I had to leave classrooms to go to her lessons. They were tedious. I didn't put my heart into it at all.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't see the importance for them. I think I've just sort of got by in the end by reading English. Then I've taught myself how to spell. Later on, when I was at that school, we had students coming who didn't speak a word of English, and then had to start learning. So then I didn't stand out at all, because we were all mixed ability anyway. We all actually had education, but it was a bit of a challenge having it in English for those students.
In conclusion, I'd like to highlight the importance of recognising that each child growing up in a family is an individual and therefore will have different experiences to that of the rest of their family members. And it is also important to be aware, because you are a family, the decisions that you have to make for the benefit of one child will also affect the rest of the family, as you saw in the example of our own family. I'd like to wish you all the best as you raise your family in another culture.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.